In the name of our all-loving God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer. At the beginning of the pandemic, one of the most important preventatives we were offered was thorough hand washing. Hand washing while one sang, "Yankee Doodle came to town," or "Happy birthday to you." Our presiding bishop suggested we sing the doxology. "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." I won't sing that, nor will I sing what I sang, the Trisagia. The point was that we were to wash our hands thoroughly, not casually, for at least 30 seconds. I thought of that as I read Jesus' words this morning about hand washing in his exchange with the Pharisees. Or that's what it seems to be about, which of course it isn't. There's more to this conversation than meets the eye. Religious differences are at the core of this discussion. They were an issue when Jesus walked on the earth, and then beyond in the new community of faith, and fast forward 20 centuries, and they still are. At the time of Jesus and into the new Christian community after his death and resurrection, table fellowship between Jewish and Gentile Christians created considerable strain in that early church community. The initial conflict revolves around an occasion when Jesus was teaching and healing in the region of Galilee. Some of the Pharisees came from Jerusalem to check him out, to see what he was up to, probably curious about how many people were actually following him. While they were observing all this, they noticed that his disciples had begun to have their lunch without first performing the required ritual of hand washing. So they challenged Jesus, and he rebukes them for their hypocrisy. To appreciate his position, we need to look at a little of the background. Scholars suggest that the Pharisees were a reform movement within the first century Jewish community. Their aim was to help the common folk reclaim their Jewish identity by being more observant of the law, the Torah. Remember that Jews were a religious minority living in an occupied territory of the Roman Empire, and it was critical to hold on to their faith and keep their traditions alive and vibrant. The Pharisees' solution was to insist that some of the laws that were required of the priests be extended to all. The washing of hands and food and cooking utensils was one example. For most Pharisees, these observances did not replace moral law, but they were considered important religious disciplines, spiritual disciplines. The Pharisees believed that keeping these disciplines was the best way to keep their faith. So while they're an easy target for criticism because of their kind of tunnel vision and adherence to hundreds of laws, they weren't bad people. They were just trying to keep their faith. They kept high standards and wanted other people to keep those same standards and be proud of their identity. All of that wouldn't have been so bad if it helped bring people into communion with one another. But the reality was that their position excluded people and kept them out. Keeping the laws stringently required that one had to have the means and the time to do so, which ordinary folk didn't have. And most of these concerns were around food and eating, a big part of Middle Eastern culture. A lesson from Deuteronomy notes that keeping Torah is the way to establish and safeguard right relationship with God, oneself, and one's neighbor. Keeping Torah also means justice for the disenfranchised, the poor, the widow, the orphan, the sojourner, the stranger, and in today's world, the undocumented immigrant, not to mention climate migrants. In the gospel, the Pharisees are infuriated because the disciples are not following this ritual hand washing and complain to Jesus. He chastises them and quotes Isaiah chapter 29 back to them. The people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Jesus is more concerned about what comes out of the human heart than the observance of religious rituals. Like all the biblical prophets before him, Jesus called into question all those rules and practices of secondary importance that got in the way of people's relationship with God and following God's will. In other gospel passages, the religious authorities criticize Jesus and the disciples for healing people on the Sabbath, for dining with those who are not keeping purity codes, and for feeding the poor on the Sabbath. And Jesus overtly violates religious rules by touching women and corpses. Each of these is a violation of the Pharisees' understanding of their religious laws that were designed to maintain boundaries between faithful and observant Jews and everybody else. Jesus' behavior seems to say, beware when religious observance gets in the way of fulfilling the heart of the law, which is love of God and one's neighbor. He wasn't dissing these rules of religious cleanliness that the Pharisees were trying to uphold. After all, he'd learned them himself. And he respected and lived out on them in his own life, except when they got in the way. What he was trying to teach them and us is that there's something more important than rituals at stake. He pointed out that the scribes and Pharisees were so concerned about the rules that they were missing the central point of what God's laws teach. He was clearly troubled that under the crushing burden of the many rules the temple authorities imposed, only a small portion of the people could afford to follow them scrupulously enough to avoid being considered unclean, while the core, the elements of God's law of compassion were to be written on the hearts, and those were being ignored. A colleague of mine tells the story of an Episcopal priest who was on an airplane and a seatmate was a pastor from a very conservative denomination. When the flight attendant came to take drink orders, the pastor ordered orange juice, and the priest could see the pastor was disturbed by his ordering a gin and tonic. The priest asked the pastor, "Does my ordering a drink upset you?" And the other pastor said, "You bet it does. This is an awful model for you to set for people to see a man with a collar ordering alcohol." And of course, the priest responded, "But Jesus' first miracle, you forget, was when he turned the water into wine at Cana." And the pastor huffed a little bit and said, "Yes, and I think less of him for that too." A silly story, but it illustrates the point that Jesus felt that the Pharisees and scribes were not catching on. Jesus was very clear about what was at the heart of the law. The summary of the law is this: love God, love your neighbor, and your neighbor is every person. Loving our neighbor makes me wonder if the priest in the above story might not have foregone his drink as a way of showing love to his seatmate. This is where Jesus is always coming from, all of the time, that we are to love God and love one another. And that's the most important thing that we can do. And that working to see that people had food to eat was more important than whether they washed their hands before eating. That including the poor, the sick, women, refugees, and immigrants and others who were on the fringes of society was what the kingdom of God was about. That God's love is for all persons, not just for those who live by the religious codes. That's what's important, what's important to God is not our piety or our religious traditions, but how we love one another. 20th century Jewish mystic Martin Buber wrote that when we are thrust into this world as infants, we ask questions like, is this a good place? Am I welcome here? Do I belong? Will my needs be met? His suggestion was that we spend all of our lives answering these questions. Today, we will help answer those questions for Emily and Ella in a few minutes when they are presented for baptism. We will promise to help them learn what Jesus asks of us, that is, to love God and our neighbors. And we will promise to support Andre and Shengwin in their role as parents. At the same time, we'll reaffirm our commitment to walk the road of discipleship and in love, seeking and serving Christ in all persons, working for justice and peace, and respecting the dignity of all. We will, with God's help.